Blog Talk Radio.
The cards are a lion. Shall break every chain. The conquering lion. Shall break every chain.
Shalom. From the water, you on with us?
Yes, sir. But shalom.
All right. Hey, how you doing, Brother Walt? Come out of y'all.
Yeah, come out of y'all. Yeah, Brother Drew, when I went back and picked up this study, Coles, one of Cohen's students, him and his friends, they was rapping about, they youngsters, rapping about weather modification. They had just found out about it, and they were so amazed about it. So I told them I've been knowing about this shit since 1945, weather modification. So I decided for the youngsters that are, and the ones that are listening, we'll go through weather modification, you know, if they let us. You know, last time they wouldn't let us finish. We never did. Every time I started talking about weather modification, we would get cut off. So we might
right.
see a big brother in the sky gonna let us talk today, let us explain what is written. See, the key to knowledge is reading. And this is a book that I got that I learned this information out of and read over 50 times. This book was given to me by a 5-year-old. And that's amazing, because he's 19 now, and he used to run us crazy in the Kanas singing from 16 hours. My grandbaby stayed with us. We called him, his nickname was Day Day. The name is Xavier, but his nickname was Day Day. So we named him Yawon Yawon. And I told him, always remember his name would be Yawon Yawon or Ashawon, meaning he was Day Day, the fifth element. Ashawon means five in our language. So we named this little boy. Yes, and every day he would be down to the Knauss when we would study for a whole year. You remember, Brother Drew, the day, the little bitty light complexion one. You remember him?
Uh-huh.
He was little baby. He was 5 years old. We went out to Barnes & Noble, me, Cole, George, and Ishmael. He was Ishmael's student, because Ishmael said he was an old spirit that had came back from the dead, which actually we already know who he was, because he explained to us, he taught us one day, for 8 hours this boy taught us on the blackboard. He was the teacher, and he started telling us stuff that he ain't had no damn business knowing. He had heard us talk about it, but he ain't had no business knowing, and he said he was there. So this, you know how Ishmael was on spirit, he was a Baba La. But he picked up a book and said, Papa, I want to learn about him. And Ishmael was studying the clouds. Ishmael was teaching them different clouds. And this book was at Barnes & Noble. It's called The Weather by John Lynch. And they was real cheap. I think it was about $4 or $5. I got two or three of them. And we started studying out of this. And this is when we found out that they could modify the weather. They could create the weather. See, this weather that the news media will tell us, Brother Drew, over the news, they don't understand the weather, that we got record-breaking weather. And every year, the weather get worse and worse. Well, when these fuckers started experimenting with this in 1945, they knew that if they continued that experience, what would happen? Because they clearly, and when I got the conversation of these scientists, they were saying what would happen if they continued using this, modifying the weather. You know that here, this year and last year, hail, Brother Drew, you know, me and you talked about it. We said, Brother Drew, I told you, I said, right, when we were little boys, Brother Drew, the hail was never this big.
Right.
Hail. Well, now I understand, because they got in here in this book how they can make hail, man. So what has happened, the scientists that invented this told them if they kept with this here, that they would change the weather where they couldn't control the weather anymore, that the weather would get out of order. I find it simply amazing, Brother Drew. He said if you continue this, he said that you will create an ice age. Did you hear what he's saying? He said,
ice age.
The climate, you will create another ice age. Well, look at the winters in the last 30 years. Well, look at it since 1964. Because in 1964, the United States, China, and Russia signed a peace treaty, and I'm jumping way ahead now, not to use weather as a weapon against each other. You remember, Brother Jew, everybody praises Reagan for disarming Russia.
Right.
They even sit down and got rid of all the missiles. The war ain't going to be fought with no. These missiles are obsolete. Each one of these nations got these towers, but the United States got the baddest one, HAARP. See, HAARP is the biggest and the baddest over Russia and China, but Russia and China are allies. That's what we have to understand now. Russia and China is allies. And then, you remember the tsunami when it happened? I remember clearly that Bill Clinton, accused George Bush of weather modification warfare to create the tsunami that happened over there and killed all those people in China. And then Russia and China retaliated against us. And in 93, Brother Drew, 1993, it rained in, let me see here. It rained in the Midwest. It flooded in the Midwest in 1993. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. That's how bad these three nations is right now of modifying the weather. And the weather now, for them fucking with the weather, you see what the weather is, not just all over the world. The weather is out of control. It's raining where it ain't supposed to rain. It's flooding where it ain't supposed to flood. It's wildfires where it ain't supposed to. It's hailing. It's earthquakes. It's hurricanes, tornadoes. It's out of season. You know, hurricanes is out of season. Ice is melting in certain parts and is freezing in certain. This is due from these people fighting with the weather since 1947 for the Jews. And because they've been fighting with this weather, this is why the weather is like it is. Now, if you tell anybody this that don't have esoteric knowledge, they ain't going to believe this shit. You can tell a Christian right now about these people that, and they tell them that they'll talk to you, ain't nobody but God can do that. That's a lie. That's a lie. Technology has moved up into this where they don't even need missiles no more. These missiles is a front, Brother Drew, because, see, you have to understand HAARP. And I don't know too many black people that even know what HAARP is.
Right.
And see, HAARP has these radio transmission towers that you don't need no missiles or warheads together. They can defend themselves against an attack with what they call ELF, F sound, extra low frequent sound waves traveling at the speed of light. Now, check this out, Brother Drew. You'll take invisible radio waves traveling at the speed of light, but they are low frequency waves. And when you do that, this would initiate a radio wave that would generate in your enemy's territory when you fly up in the ionosphere, see, you have to know where you live. You live on a planet, and you live with water above and water beneath, and you live in a firmament, and you live in the core of the earth. This ain't the surface of the earth. This is the core, and you live so many levels in it. I always ask the question, how far, Brother Drew, you remember when I used to ask y'all a question, you probably don't forgot the answer. How far is the coldest place in the world?
Yeah, I forgot
for
that one.
Right now. Huh?
Yeah, I forgot that one.
You remember that? Coldest place in the world is 1 mile straight up. When you hit the stratosphere.
Yeah, I remember that.
When you hit the stratosphere, less than 45 minutes in the air, you're in the coldest place in the world. I don't give a damn what part of the world that you leave from. You go straight up, in 45 minutes, you're in the coldest place in the world. Not the North Pole. It's colder than the North Pole. So they know how to take these radio waves and take the crystal of these ice and create a vibration. See, they kill your ass with. See, I never find it so amazing. They show you these weapons and this new all the Star Wars. You know the Star Wars movie, Brother Drew, where they got.
Uh-huh.
The new soldier is made out of a remote man, plastic, and he's up on a remote control like a robot.
Yeah.
Well, shit. This is how this technology works. And Eastman Kodak, that's right down the street from us, and Eastman makes these transmitters. And see. These weapons was developed through technology using nothing but electro and magnetic energy. And see, we walk and stand in an electromagnetic energy field. And extreme low frequency, you add it to the atmosphere, and this is to stop. You have to stop to think of the importance of energy in a tornado, a thunderstorm, and a hurricane. You got a tremendous force of energy, which is called HFA, high frequency activity. You got a high, and then you shoot into there. It's just like a invisible laser beam, this low frequency, and within you can control this tornado, and to a certain extent, but now sometimes you can't control it because they wrote this history down, Brother Drew. Even they experiment, and how come we ain't hip to this? I mean we. And see, Hobb towers look just like regular antenna towers. You don't know one when you see them. and see, you got it's a funny thing. These Hobb towers cover 40 acres, and it's connected directly to a gas field. Meaning that it's cheap power to operate these things. I tell anybody, go and get you some information about HARP. A man wrote a book called HARP, called Angels Don't Play with Harp. Harp ain't no angel. He wrote this book. It's a book out called Harp Don't Play With Us. But you have to understand that what you think is impossible is possible. It is possible, and it's in full blast right now as we speak. I understand now about everything, the weather. Funny thing, Brother Drew, I find it simply amazing. Our forefathers that was over here in the West, and the forefathers, the colored ones over there in the North, they knew about this energy, especially the Dogon tribe, the Zulu, and the Watusi.
Uh-huh.
They didn't call it the jet stream. They didn't call it the jet stream. They call it the trade wind. It was known as the trade wind during slavery. And you had to catch the trade wind to catch the wind, the air, to come make the trip over here with them boats bringing the slaves. You had to catch the right trade wind. Let's see, what fucked up Christopher Columbus was that they got stuck. They came over here the wrong time of the year. They got stuck where they couldn't have no trade wind. That's when they bogged down, and one ship had to go back. They had to wait on the trade winds to pick up, because our ancestors knew what time of the year that the winds would blow and make the trade wind of produce this energy so you could sail. And another funny thing about that is that our ancestors, all of this knowledge that was put into that, we can see because of we study ancient knowledge like I have, you can see where they deal with it, but they didn't call it this. These are all these new names, just like the jet stream. They didn't call it the jet stream. They called it a trade wind. And everything has to go out on the trade winds. And Dallas, Texas, Brother Drew, is right in the middle of the trade wind. And how you know that, Brother Drew, is that all your space shows has to go. The only way they can go into space is on the trade wind. So when this ship busted coming back, you remember the shell that killed all the people that and all this stuff fell in East Texas. Some of it fell on Mama's land down in Beery, Texas. But Grandpa great-great-grandfather used to tell me stories about, he say, we live where the great winds is. We live where the great winds on the great waters and the great eagles. This is where the winds, and at a certain time of the year down there, it's just as cool as hell, and they built their houses called shotgun houses straight through where on that trade wind, where them winds was, Grandpa and them built them shotgun houses where in the summertime it would be cool, and in the wintertime it would be heat. It would be warm because we had wood stoves and didn't have no, we had wind there. And in the 50s, I remember Daddy got a water cooler fan, but I remember if I go out to Big Mama and them, if I stayed with Big Mama and them, they had them old isolating fan. They put ice up on it. The ice man, then it'd cool you off. But that water cooler fan, when I used to go home, that water cooler fan was buckling, boy. Shit. Daddy had that.
Yeah, I remember the water cooler fan.
Shit, man, that joker. And guess what? The water cool fan is more healthier for you than an air conditioner, because an air conditioner run on Freon, in 2 years of using Freon, you breathing Freon through it, you get addicted to it where your butt can't live without air conditioning. Most people can't live without air conditioning, and your body got the sweat. And that's when Big Mama used to, she hated that. Your body throws the sweat, so you sweat the impurities out of your body. But due to the fact that you up on the air condition all damn day long, the impurities, that's when people are so goddamn sick now. Same way with washing your clothes. Them old people put that bleach and that lye soap in them clothes and hang it out on the in the sunshine to get the energy. So you're dealing with energy, that sun that's going into them clothes. They put that bluing in there and lye soap and wash them clothes. That's, you ain't never smelled something so good. Your linen and stuff. But this deals with energy. This deals with energy, electromagnetic energy. Something that our babies need to, we need to deeply start. All the people that got wisdom and now you need, we need to start teaching our babies about this knowledge right here. I know Day-Day probably done forgot every damn thing he learned, because that them 5 years that he stayed away in Germany, he moved to Germany. His mama's husband was in the military, and he was stationed in Germany for 20-some years because of his job. He had one of them computer jobs on that high security, and he was a lieutenant commander. And they, when she married him, they lived almost 8 years. I didn't even know Day-Day when he come back. Because he left, he was about 7 years old. He had forgot a lot. But he hadn't forgot the language. Him and Haley, they still remember. He taught Haley the language. And it took me that teachers had told us that, you know, it was one word in that ancient Hebrew that was a bad word. I forgot the word, how to say it. But they had learned it. All the kids had learned it. It wasn't really a bad word. It's what it was classified. And Haley would use it. And the German lady that was, when she went to school, well, you piss Haley off, she started talking Hebrew to you and curse you out. But the lady knew Hebrew, and the German lady knew Hebrew, and she asked Peaches, where did the baby learn this ancient Paleo Hebrew that she hadn't heard it spoke by her grandparents? And she said, well, they learned it from their grandpa. I don't know what they speak. But it was just, they had learned that. When we're dealing with scientists, discovered there was 5 atmospheres, river, in the northern hemisphere, 5 in the southern hemisphere. Each of these 10 rivers carry these flow rates that the water, and Brother Drew, let me tell you something about water. Water, Brother Jew, and we just experienced water. Running water, Brother Jew, has the energy of 5,000 atomic bomb blasts. And these people that got killed in this water can see. How car? Do you know how powerful that is, Brother Drew? You talking about some energy that's fired up. And see, we're dealing with nothing but energy. And we're gonna talk about an event that happened in 1947. setback that caused the weather modification for some years ago. They had lawsuits was filed against the United States for this. And the distant history of weather modification, thunder and lightning and stuff, this goes all the way back through all the cultures. You know, over here we had the rain dance. And they did the rain dance and stuff, and some of them rang bells and stuff. And different people had their own ideas of how they could have the weather come into existence. This ain't just a thought that this happened with before, but this Gentile, this Anglo-Saxon, he took it to another level in the 40s. And it was a scientist by the name of Langmuir, that's a German name, Langmuir. He won the Nobel Peace Prize for Chemistry in 1932. He is the father of weather modification. And he found out about weather modification on accident, because they had experimented with this stuff and experimented, and he messed around and left his freezer open, and he seen where it crystallized, and then he seen where he could take this and electrify the water in it and crystallize it and put so much temperature to it and low the temperature that he made these crystals, and they would create certain energy through vaporizing. See, we're dealing with some heavy, heavy stuff. And then after they got this, Brother Drew, when they took on October 13, 1947, they had a storm in Miami. And what they did was flew with a B-17 bomber, made three flights into the storm's eye, and dropped a 330-pound bomb of solid carbon dioxide, which is dry ice, into the path of a storm. Well, this calmed the storm down, Brother Drew, and they was praising what they had done, how they had calmed and settled this hurricane down, that it didn't spread it. But the next day, this hurricane gained force from that dry ice that they had done dropped in there, and it reinfested and swept through Georgia, causing death and destruction that was untoldable, which was one of the dumb it was. A whole lot of lawsuits came out of that. Now, this is some shit that we didn't know, honey. You know, if you ain't reading, you ain't know nothing about this. You know, if you ain't a reader, you wouldn't know nothing about this. So, shit, I wouldn't know nothing about it if it hadn't been for Day-Day interested in reading. See, that's what we know for a fact, the baby can teach us, Brother Drew. That saying in the Bible that you be taught by a baby, shit, we know that for a fact. Because I was taught raised by a 3-year-old baby that got up and sung them every day. You remember Elder Zakane's daughter? She's 3 years old. She get up and sung the olive bays every Shabbat. She lead the crowd. She the one that we would say, "Ale bay, give me a dolly, hey, what's up? Great take, yeah. Call Slama Mim, noon finale, pick Kali Sue, racing by." And everybody, she would lead us every Shabbat. She was 3 years old. And I took me a while to understand it. So after they have learned all of this, Brother Drew, they even tell the dates that they can take a giant thundercloud, carries the hailstone in it. And these hailstones can grow to huge size, they say, and they fall mostly in Texas and overseas at in a country called Bordeaux in France. Now, call this, they can suspend the hail. They say if you cross a cross section through a hailstorm, it's possible to see the layers of hail look just like an onion. So they know that if they put so many kilograms of so much energy into it, they tap into that, well, it'll create these big size hail that we've been seeing. Because I'm wondering about that stuff. You got some hail that killed folks last year. Brother Drew, you remember that? Dude, right here in Dallas, the hail, how the hail
right.
was doing. And how we don't understand nothing about weather. And I urge everybody to let your babies read or you read about the weather, because right now we have modification of the weather. This is a big subject. And then when we got off into military modification of the weather, and that's in this book. Now, you know, they got kind of upset. We tried to do that three times, and they knocked us off. You know, when you get into the military part now let's look at something that happened in 1962. We'll read from Fidel Castro at length. Blaming storm theory experiments for the destruction of a hurricane in Cuba in 1962. And he complained a year later with a massive drought. They made a drought on his tiny country. When storm theory shifted its base of operations to Guam, which is in the Pacific, with a view to protect the U.S. military base, there the People's Republic of China objected strongly to anything that might redirect the typhoon towards their cities. At the same time, the Japanese pointed out that much of their annual rainfall stemmed from tropical typhoons and political requests that the Americas leave nature well alone. Elsewhere, seeding clouds, and when we see these planes flying over us, Brother Drew, this is what is they call chemtrails. They be seeding these damn clouds. A cloud leaves the naked eye in 15 minutes. A cloud floats on the air. A cloud that you see that says stationary, this is a seeded cloud that they can modify the weather with. Now, tear your ass outside and see how many big old white cumulative clouds that your ass see that don't move. They just there. In the morning they put hydrogen, in the evening they put nitrogen in them clouds. And then the next day they'll tell you it's ozone level, level orange, and it's going to be this kind of weather and that there. But this is what they're talking about, seeded clouds, simply to make a rain move ahead through the heated years of 60s and 1970s. But one of the most colorful examples against showed the grand scale of American military thinking called Operation Popeye was the name given to this plan of to bog down the Viet Cong as they attempt to move south along the old Ho Chi Minh Trail in Vietnam. The work that led up to the operation had been partly motivated by the loss of life in the Battle of the Bulges near the end of the Second World War, where Allied forces was crushed by a surprise German panzer offense. The German attack was gone virtually unchallenged because thick fog had settled in over the Amadine and no Allied air cover could be mobilized. Years later in America, a young scientist, Amon, moved by the tragedy, became convinced that fog technology could have been applied in the Andes, saving many lives. And so he began to work with the U.S. Navy, perfect ways of controlling and seeding clouds. Meanwhile, in Vietnam, the U.S. Army had noticed how effective that the monsoon rains were in preventing North Vietnamese troop movement, and they decided to adopt the extraordinary idea of extending the monsoon season, and they tested this over Laos in 66, and we arrived in Da Nang in October. The operation center was set up inside a flying C-130 of the Air Weather Service with jet fighters from the Marine doing the seeding from wing-mounted canisters, while U.S. Army Air Cavalry planes flew beneath the clouds to measure any rainfall, and the final trial was a careful controlled set of experiments of seeding the clouds, produced more rain, greater, faster, and lasting longer than the controlled cloud. By the end of the first month, the streams below were in flood stage. And they did this in the Nam, Brother Drew. And for many years over the skies of Vietnam until the U.S. president decides to cease the bombing of North Vietnamese, and did these monsoon seasons stop being these long monsoon seasons in that country, killing off people. With rain, monsoons, it rained every day. Every day it rained. Right. I was there with monsoons. It rained every day. It rained so the shit started. You had to keep your feet. Instead of shit start growing on people's feet, trees what? And shit. Yeah. And out there in the rice paddies, them goddamn bacteria and fungus get on your goddamn ass, Brother Drew. And I seen shit attached to people's feet and shit. You, the thing was to keep your damn feet dry, so you get that goddamn what they call jungle rot shit. And all this shit was created by us. And this book is a hell of a book. I urge everybody to get a copy of this book. The reading is awesome in it. And then I know it's true because my company commander, William Cooper, wrote A Pale White Horse. And he said the same thing. And I know that he was all right with me. Me and him was very good friends. We played badminton together. Couldn't nobody beat us, Brother Drew. Couldn't nobody beat me in the 5th Naval District. I won the 5th Naval District every year in badminton. And when Commander Cooper became my XO, and I'm a commanding officer. Me and Mr. Carby was my commanding officer, and he came my XO. So he asked me, "What? Let's play doubles in the badminton tournament together." Because I practiced with him all the time. He would enter, but I'd tear his ass up. they started having the doubles in badminton. And me and him was for four straight years, the Fifth David District at badminton.
Uh-huh.
You ever played badminton? You ever played badminton?
No, I never played doubles.
Played with a bird and sort of played like tennis with a net for some reason. Well, I know why, because Daddy had bought us a badminton set when I was like about 7 or 8 years old. Daddy bought us a badminton set. And he made us a badminton court that my dad had played. And all the kids in the neighborhood, we played badminton all day. After when school was out, especially in the summertime, we played badminton. And boy, I had got, well, damn, all everybody was chuffed because we didn't have no tennis court. We couldn't go to the white tennis court. You know, tennis was badminton is sort of like tennis, but you can't let the bird hit the ground. And you got if you was a good ping pong player, which all of us played ping pong. Dad had ping pong. We had a ping pong table, and Merck Dykeman, our cousin, and George Murdison, they had ping pong tables. They daddies at them, and we played ping pong. And then at the school, we would play ping pong. The professor would let us play ping pong. Had three or four ping pong tables. And boy, we could play some ping pong. We could pong, boy. Even when I went to college, boy, I was ponging. I still get ponged a little bit when I go up to. We play. Up on the West End, we play at a club that has ping pong tables, and I still got it. I can't move as fast as I used to, but I still got my stuff on my ball.
Right.
I still got that wrist action. See, I'm left-handed, and that wrist action with a left-handed is awesome with the backspin on a ball same way with a baseball. See, with a baseball, a left-handed pitcher. See, I throw an in-shoot and a slider either way, and I throw three-quarters. And I can throw either three-quarters or straight overhand. If I throw straight overhand, Professor had taught me from 6 years old how to pitch two different ways. We had 9 left-hand pitchers on our team. We won the state championship for 32 straight years, and nobody beat us. And he had taught us in Little League different styles of pitching, and I had a what they call a overhand drop curve, and if you batted on your left, I stepped towards you, boy, you were running from the plate and the ball break right across the plate because it looked like it's coming at your head. I could throw that drop curve, boy. I could throw that drop curve, boy. But weather modification, I wanted to give you just a little working knowledge of it. It's a long subject. It's a deep subject. It's a subject that if you don't know nothing about it and you one of these God believers, see, this is when you believe in God, you can't study nothing like this. You know that, Brother Drew? And because when you believe in God and you read this, you're going to say that ain't
right.
True.
Yeah, God,
ain't nobody can wait nobody. Weather, only God can do that. That's bullshit. Ain't no such thing as a God. The God is walking around here on earth. All white people
right.
is God. That's a Germanic word. So they God. And they act
right.
like God. And it's a funny thing in the Bible. I looked in the Bible. The Bible is a good history book of the white folks, given to you by the Jews. And the Jews say that the Gentile would change time and change weather. And I looked up under the word time in my concordance. The word time is mentioned in the Bible, Brother Drew, 500 times. Now, the word time deals with, first, four seasons. Now, four seasons mean four different kinds of weather. In them four seasons, era, E-R-A. In that era is a decade and a century. And when you trace the history according to that order, Brother Drew, when it get to the century, you are talking about world dealing with time. Four damn seasons. That's the reason in the book of Ecclesiastes it says there's a time to live, time to die, time to laugh, a time to cry, all this time.
Right. Right.
What time is it? And we know for a fact that the Bible said a wicked nation of people would change time. Well, ain't but one goddamn nation of people change time, and that's the Anglo-Saxon. He changed time every, what, October or April? He started that in 1957. Eisenhower started that. The hell, I had to do a book report on what? Eisenhower changed time to play golf. Make the summer. See, it don't get dark until 9 o'clock. In the summertime, from the changing of time, taking it up
right.
An hour, they could play golf longer. So they praise them on TV and everything. All because they were big golf fanatic during that time and period. And then we know that at 4004 BC, they changed time. We at 2016. This ain't no damn 20. It's 2016 AD. But it was a 2016, January, July the 9th, whatever it is now, BC. So how in the hell can you start time over? They ain't just start bugging with the weather and the time. See, when you mess with weather, you messing with time, because time is weather, and weather is season. You got spring, autumn, fall, spring, summer, winter, and fall. Each one of them carry a different weather pattern. And when you start modifying the weather to get better weather in one, and it's done got out of control like it is now, because they tell us on the TV it's out of control. Within Houston, you got a problem. And they are saying that through weather modification and through the Hart Foundation and weather modification, that they don't even need nuclear weapons no more. They plan the game with the weather. We fighting a war with the weather with each other. We ain't fighting with nuclear missiles. And you know what the scary part is, Brother Drew?
What's that?
They can control your mind with these vibrations, your thoughts. This is what this book says. They can control your thoughts. So how many veterans got all of these? Shit, you don't know what they done put in your ass at the VA. And they done operated on you. You got pins in your legs, and they done put this in you and that
right.
on you. You don't know what they done put in your ass. You know what damn thing they done put in you. You don't know what foods that you might get eating, huh?
Yeah, I noticed all the ones that go and have surgery and something happened to them a few months later, they ain't the same.
Right, you see, you don't know what the hell, and they can mess with your thoughts, but they can control your thoughts, human thoughts. Now, when they master this, and they done almost mastered that, because you see a lot of these veterans and going off, just like here in Dallas. See, when you got a lone person, a loner, see, a lone man, a too lone man, you don't know who that enemy is. But Drew, that's the reason. There's no way in the world that you can be protected in the United States. No way. You got open market.
Right.
It ain't all this bullshit with Homeland Security and all this shit at the airport. That ain't bad shit. That ain't no security check. That's some bullshit. Because you can't stop anything if they plotting against you. And they plotting, you can't stop them. One or two. You don't ever be the one or two. It's guerrilla warfare is what it's called. And you can't stop. And there ain't no security. And they talking about that this guy was a sniper. He wasn't a sniper. He didn't have sniper training. And ain't no one person can lay down that much barrage of a damn gunfire. And they got shot in the crossfire. Well, they used some type sniper technology. The reason I know they wasn't snipers, Brother Drew, is because the first thing they teach you in sniper school, I taught it. I would tell you, this ain't Hollywood. This ain't the goddamn movies that you've been watching in the World War II where the sniper is up in a goddamn tree. Snipers don't shoot from an elevated position. That's the first damn thing you learn. You don't shoot from an elevated position, because if you shoot from an elevated position, they don't see the goddamn flash, and you're going to get your ass killed. That's one
right.
reason you don't shoot from an elevated position, because you can see the sound. You shoot from a camouflage position on a tripod or in a three-prong position if you a sniper and had sniper training. So this guy wasn't a sniper. There's nowhere in the world he could lay down that much fire. Even the chief said that they was caught in a crossfire. Caught in a damn crossfire. So my question is, why would they use C4 to blow this man up when they could have used tear gas? And where is this white supremacist that was supposed to be the number one suspect? What happened to him? They had his picture all over the Facebook. What happened to him? And why they didn't want this man to talk? Why they didn't want him to talk? Because tear gas would have got him out of there. All the tear gas that they got down at the police department. But they sent a robot in with C4 to blow him up. Something wrong with that picture. That's the same picture that I get Obama killing Bin Laden and burying him in his seat, and nobody see the body.
Right.
And here's what I do know for a fact. They ain't killed no Bin Laden, because if they would have buried Bin Laden at sea, that Muslim over there classified that you don't bury a Muslim at sea. It's against their religion. It's against their teaching. And they would kill your ass if you bury their leader at sea. So I ain't falling for the bullshit to kill Bin Laden and you bury him at sea. Turn around and bury him at sea and nobody see it. You see, I ain't buying that. That's another one of them damn lies. But before I go, Brother Drew, people that's listening to me, get this book called The Well of Multiplication by John Lynch and read it. It was $9.98 when I bought it. I'm looking at it right now. The price is $9.98 at half price bookstore. Until next week, I say Yah Shalom.